Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, guys? It's Dave Mate over here at CircleOfDrink.com, and joining me today will be a team member at Circle of Drink called. Again, to preface the show, none of this information is supported by the FDA. This is for educational purposes only. Please consult with your own doctor or medical care practitioner before consuming any herbs that you are unfamiliar with. Please do your own due diligence. With that said, today, again, we are discussing yerba mate, cannabis, and powerful super herbs that could help the body, help the mind, help your social life, just help you out all around. That's what herbs were designed to do. I just kind of want to clear things up a little bit. After the last Mate Wanna show, we got some people asking exactly what Mate Wanna was. They thought that you had to mix cannabis sativa, the physical herb of cannabis sativa, inside of your gourd with your physical herb of yerba mate, Ilex paraguayensis. No, that is not the case, and sorry for the confusion. That has never been the case with Mate Wanna. Mate Wanna essentially is consuming yerba mate, however you consume it, through a gourd, through a French press, tea infuser, whatever way you consume yerba mate, also simultaneously consuming cannabis sativa. However you consume cannabis sativa, whether that be through edibles, things like edibles with chocolates or edible candies or edible lollipops, or perhaps you smoke the joint, smoke the bowl, however you want to smoke your cannabis sativa, or perhaps you went the really clean route and you went with a vaporizer, or you went with something like shatter or glass, some of the concentrated oils of cannabis sativa, which are becoming more popular now. That's up to you. So Mate Wanna is the combination, the act of consuming cannabis sativa and also consuming Ilex paraguayensis, which is yerba mate, at the same time and potentially achieving synergistic effects. I noticed these effects for the first time, these synergistic effects, when I was living in Argentina several years ago. We were at a park called Parque Las Heras, and I was with a bunch of people over there. And we were consuming cannabis sativa, and we were also consuming yerba mate. And after about 20 minutes, half an hour, I just kind of looked around and I said, guys, this is pretty interesting. I'm feeling something not so distinct that I'm just getting it from mate. And I'm feeling something that's not specific to cannabis sativa. I'm feeling something totally new. I'm feeling this combined marriage of energy, of clarity, of working on my body, working on my system. I found that pretty spectacular. We got a call. Let's see who's calling in. Somebody wants to talk. Please have your comments ready, whoever this is, and thank you for calling in. Let's see what's going on. Hello.
Hey, Dave. It's Joe. How you doing?
Joe, what's going on, man? Glad to get you back on the show.
Absolutely. Hold on 1 second.
Hey,
Joe was on our last
show.
No problem, Joe. Thanks for having being back on. Sorry about last time. We got cut off on the last show.
Oh, yeah. I'm not too sure what happened, but, yeah, I'm back.
Okay.
And right now I'm actually drinking some a blend between Canarias and La Merced. I believe that's how you pronounce it. I don't know. But, yeah, it's a really nice blend, and
I added
some wild harvested blend. I mean, mint. Tasting really good.
Oh, nice.
Feeling
nice.
Really good, too, yeah.
Mm.
Anyways,
clarify for some of the listeners. Last time, people were thinking... Oh, go ahead, bro. What were you saying?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was just going to pick up on the kratom, on the whole kratom deal.
Oh, nice. Yeah, pick up
on
that. But first, I just want you to talk about a little bit about... Are you familiar? You're familiar with Mate Wanna, the whole idea of Mate Wanna?
Well, I've listened to your show maybe one or two times previously, one of them being when I called last time. I just hadn't catched them before. But
okay.
Isn't it the idea of the, you know, the synergy between cannabis and mate?
Yes, exactly. I just wanted to clarify for listeners that it's not actually physically mixing the herbs together and drinking it out of your gourd.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, a lot of people were thinking that last time, unfortunately. It's my fault, though.
No. Yeah, no. Separately, you know, it's probably optimal.
Yeah.
You may not have the best experience. But
yeah, because if you mix it within your gourd, you're not going to feel any of the effects of the cannabis sativa. I mean, yeah, you might get
good.
Some nutrients from it. It'll taste good.
Exactly.
You know, it'll be a nice little tea, but you're definitely not going to go on a journey with it.
No, sir. Right now, I'm actually experiencing that right now. And it's pretty nice.
What's this kratom? Can you explain this again?
Oh,
the whole
kratom? Kratom. Nitrogenia ciciosa. K-A-R-T-O-M, yes. Fuck. Yeah, this stuff is crazy. This is a herb from Southeast Asia, and it's actually been banned there for production. I'm not too sure why, but in many of the places it actually originates, it's banned. And they're trying to do it here, but, you know, it's been put off for another year for them to do that.
Okay.
Trying
to ban it?
Basically, it's an opioid. It acts with your opioid receptors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an opiate, not to be confused. So that's one thing to be clear about. An opioid, what's special about kratom is that instead of collecting and bioaccumulating on your opioid receptors, it actually
mm-hmm.
bounces off.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't, you know, accumulate and, like, ruin your receptors like opiates, you know, stuff would do.
Right. But it does touch your receptors, though. It does have a connection with them, with your opioid receptors.
Yes. Sure does. And and basically it's been used for a pretty long time to help opiate addicts like get off of it, like heroin and stuff. And recently it's been used, you know, recreationally. I think it's fit for being recreational. At low doses it gives you a nice stimulated effect. And at higher doses, it gives you a sedating effect. And it depends, like, how much you've consumed. Like, it's like kava, for instance, is a reverse tolerance. So you have to drink more at first. And with kratom, it's the opposite, just like with cannabis. If you know, the more you consume, the more you're going to have to smoke.
Talk to me about some of these feelings, though. What are the effects, like? What can people expect when they drink a good amount of kratom? What are they going to feel? What are the psychological aspects of it?
Well, I would say most of the psychological aspects would be you feel very heavy-bodied, very warm, very clear-minded, and it's very sedating, and even in a sense of being stimulating, because
mm-hmm.
even when you're stimulated by kratom, it's more of a very clear and euphoric type of relief.
Okay.
And
it's a
very
little mate in some ways.
Yeah, exactly. And mixed with yerba mate, it becomes interesting because usually you get the down effects from kratom.
Mm-hmm.
And mate kind of blocks that out for a good couple hours. But after that, you know, it'll normalize, and then the kratom will actually take over and put you to sleep.
Really? Okay. So kratom, from what I'm gathering, is somewhat of a stimulant. It activates the mind, but it doesn't overly excite the body. And it, like mate, it'll allow you to sleep. It's not going to keep you up all night. So it probably has some adaptogenic properties. So it seems like it could go well with mate. It seems like it's a sort of herb that could work with mate.
I believe so. I haven't actually experienced any negative side effects from combining the two, or the three, rather. And
right.
Yeah, and it just becomes like an organic speedball, I call it, and it's just it just counteracts the really like hard-hitting effects of mate, but it still gives you that energy that you love in mate. But it's
okay,
like,
so
at the same time, you feel nice and warm. It feels like someone lays an entire warm blanket over your entire body. And like, your entire body is affected by it. And it's...
That's awesome.
In that sense, it is very adaptogenic. Because
okay.
It doesn't really target one thing in your body. It actually kind of assesses and kind of goes through the entire body to alleviate and, you know, relieve pain.
Okay. So kratom seems like an herb that our listeners may want to try. Do you know anything about kava? People have been talking about kava lately.
Yeah, actually, I go
kava?
To a kava bar down here in Florida all the time, pretty much every day.
What's
actually.
Going on with kava? Give us the rundown.
Kava works off of a... And I'm really no expert on kava, or any of these herbs, to be honest. But these are just off of my personal experiences. Kava works off of like a kava lactone in your body, and it goes straight to your liver, but it has a reverse effect than alcohol, although it gives you the same feeling. So instead of toxifying your liver, it actually cleanses your liver.
Okay.
And anytime you drink kava and alcohol, that's never a good thing to do, because apparently it disrupts your with your liver, and somehow after you clean your liver with the kava and then you hit it hard with the alcohol, it could really damage you.
Okay.
But yeah, kava comes from Fiji, which is I believe Fiji's in Southeast Asia, right? Or I'm not too sure.
Yes, I believe so. I believe so. I heard of this bar called Crave that opened up, I think in Indiana. Don't quote me on the state, but it just opened up. It's a bar called Crave, K-R-A-V-E. And the owner, all she does is serve kava to young adults, to people who are in their 18 to, say, 24, 25, and they go there. And based upon this article that I read, it seems like they're going there as an alternative to alcohol. So we are seeing an herb that is successfully, as small as it is, displacing alcohol. You know,
absolutely.
You know, that's amazing. I mean, when I think about that, I think about yerba mate at the turn of the 20th century when people were promoting it as a temperance drink, as a drink to get people off of alcohol and to replace it with yerba mate, which I find interesting, very powerful. But just talking about alcohol for a second, I have to mention it because I find, as a person of science and as a person of truth, for me, living in 2015 and seeing everybody, you know, get hammered every day, and then seeing somebody smoke a joint and being like, wow, that person's killing themselves by smoking a joint, but yet that same person had gone to the bar last night and consumed about 2 liters of alcohol, and they're talking about a joint being toxic. They're talking about being something that's going to kill you. I mean, we got to wake up in this world, man. Where are we getting this information? Show me some reports of showing that that marijuana, that cannabis is toxic. No, it's not toxic.
And you know what? I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that. Yeah, I totally agree, and you know, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the country is ruled by people who are from the, you know, the marijuana craze days, you know, like the paranoia, you know, what's that one documentary called?
Yeah. Old School Baby Boomers, that's right, Dan.
Yeah, you know, the old people are ruling the country, and they have no sense of what's, you know, right and wrong, and that's why they're, you know, given the lobbyists for the alcohol and tobacco companies, you know, they're giving it to them because they want to keep anything natural and sustaining off the market.
Mm-hmm. And like, go ahead, Dane. You want to say something, Dane?
Yeah, I mean, hemp's history is just something that's been like stapled into this country's history. So I mean, I mean,
Declaration of Independence was hemp paper, wasn't it?
Yeah, and the first draft was on hemp paper. But I mean, everywhere up until like the 1920s, even 1940s, like cannabis and hemp was a big part of American industry. So I mean, for it to be just completely taken out because the lumber industry,
right.
The whole like
the cotton industry,
yeah, they saw it as a big threat as a trillion-dollar industry. So I mean. Reefer Madness started, and just like the whole...
Yeah, the Reefer Madness, that's what I was thinking.
Right. That was a funny movie. That's a great movie, man.
Oh, yeah, Reefer Madness. Nah, it's crazy because it's like, I was very quiet for the first several years of trying to keep this discussion away from Circle of Drink, thinking that it's going to turn people off. But as a person who's been consuming cannabis sativa for... I don't know, 15 years now. I consider myself a pretty smart person. I don't think that my mind has deteriorated at all over the past 15 years. In fact, I think that I'm much smarter without, you know, sounding egotistical. That's just truthful. Cannabis sativa opens up waves, doors of understanding, I think. I think the implications of cannabis sativa go far beyond physiological aspects of the body. I think it's something to do with I mean, I've come up with ideas that were so stellar when I was consuming cannabis sativa that I have to attribute it to consuming cannabis sativa. I mean, that in and of itself is powerful medicine. I mean, I could say the same thing for yerba mate, but to keep on, you know, not to keep on hampering alcohol, but I got to put things in perspective. You know, people out there consuming alcohol all day long, don't get me wrong, I consume alcohol here and there, but those same people who are talking about cannabis. Yeah, it's all about moderation. It's all about moderation. But it's
everything
like,
is all about moderation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just that we got to put things in perspective when people are talking about how cannabis sativa is horrible for you. What research have you read? How many books have you read on cannabis? How many sources have you studied of real scientific publications? Most of these people have not read a single study. Not one
single study.
I'm beginning
to think that they don't really believe it. I'm beginning to think that they don't really believe it because it's
no,
not
they don't
in
believe
their,
the Harvard scientists.
It's
they
not
don't
in their interest
the from Columbia.
Monetarily, you know. They don't they don't have any market for it because it's illegal and they're not doing anything to make it legal. And those who are definitely hopping on the train. And apparently Monsanto, I don't know how credible this is, but...
Yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah, apparently
the
Monsanto
GMO
just created a genetically modified strain. But
yep. And they're trying to do it with yerba mate out here, too.
Oh, yeah, because apparently PepsiCo owns a large portion of the yerba mate that's produced in South America because it's in one of the supplements that PepsiCo distributes. So they mass produce it in South America.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. I mean, I know Coca-Cola, they own about 2 mate companies as of 2007, and I just read a patent the other day where they filed mate as one of the ingredients. And mate is going to be a part of a patent they're filing as a natural sweetener that is a weight management sweetener. I don't know what that means. I guess it's sugar that's going to
sweetener.
Help speed up your metabolism. Yeah.
Well, I believe mate is very bitter, but it's very bitter in a very delicate way. It's not bitter in a bad way. I very much so enjoy the taste of mate, but it is bitter. And those bitter, you know, tannins are very healthy for you.
Absolutely.
Along with the saponins.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So, I mean...
Did you read up about yerba mate being an adaptogenic herb the other day?
Yeah, actually, when I was calling, I was halfway through watching that video, and I saw that you were going on air, so I'm like, hey, I'm going to give him a call.
Sweet, man.
But yeah, I do believe that yerba mate is an adaptogenic herb because I feel that I can consume it every day without any negative side effects and a more of a bioaccumulative effect in a positive manner, you know?
Absolutely. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, no, you're good.
No, I was just saying, yeah, I mean, I never really read in any of the adaptogenic books of mate being listed, only because I think that scientists weren't considering it. So, you know, after doing research of years on yerba mate, like the last time, and finding out that mate contained saponins, just like all other adaptogens, and mate is something
right.
that you could consume pretty much all day long without any consequence, which is another criteria of being a an adaptogenic herb, and an herb that normalizes the natural functioning of the human organism, which is another aspect of adaptogenic herbs. Mate does that as well. So I don't see any reason why not, short of not being accredited doctor or scientist, I don't see any reason why not mate couldn't be considered an adaptogenic herb. If anybody's listening and wants to chime in and to add on to that conversation, give us a call at 917-889-9947, and we'll chat up about it. Yerba mate, cannabis sativa, kratom, kava kava, all sorts of powerful superfoods and herbs. We're talking today at the
botanicals.
That's right.
These are herbs that have been used for thousands of years, you know, indigenous peoples. And, you know, that's and it's obviously worked for them.
Yeah, and we're talking about, like, we just discovered it, yeah.
For government officials to discredit it, you know, it's just, like, it's nonsense.
Well, how long could it get, like we're seeing now with the legalization of cannabis sativa, I mean, we're reaching a point where the government can no longer deny, you know, the benefits of it. You know, look at a country, a state like Colorado, a state that's doing about what every month in revenue is something like $5 billion. How much are they doing, Dane?
Oh, revenue?
Billions of dollars. Let's just say billions of dollars. Conservatively speaking, over the past year, we're talking billions of dollars in gross revenue, legal money. Way until New York jumps on. You know, California already jumped on. I mean, they're basically reaching a point where they know, the states know that they can make so much money off of this that they're like, all right, yeah, we knew it was good all along. Let's just make it official now and let's reap the rewards and tax the shit out of it. So, I mean, they're coming to terms now with cannabis sativa, legalizing it on a state level, the government, federal government, beginning to back off since the Obama campaign with all the raids happening on the West Coast that were so common.
And
the DHA.
You know, and the herb has such a huge community revolving around it too, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So it's like there's also a large demographic that brings in revenue pretty much in every single state.
Well, you'd be surprised what kind of people buy cannabis.
Dane, why don't you talk about some of the people you've come across with, some of your cannabis friends?
I mean,
what sort of people are they?
It's the cannabis stoner stereotype is somewhat understandable to portray everybody. I mean, everybody is very friendly, kind of loosey-goosey, very, very upfront and friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you'd be surprised by the people who ingest cannabis on a pretty regular basis. I mean,
peaceful people?
Yeah. I mean, people you wouldn't expect either, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's doctors, there's upper echelon people who,
mm-hmm.
like, people in the regular media think it's just like it's a street drug, it's
yeah.
a dirty thing. But like people who understand what it is, like get their benefits from it and implement it into their lives.
Absolutely. You wouldn't expect the sort of people who are consuming cannabis. I just met a surgeon the other day in New York City. He and his wife regularly consuming cannabis sativa. This is a surgeon.
Yeah, man.
You know, so.
My dad works with a couple doctors who they're not big drinkers.
Mm-hmm.
They're doctors. They know like that it's not gonna kill you, and like it's something that can be implemented in moderation for anybody. Like.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, man. We got to break the stereotypes. I'm just happy a show like this could help break down the stereotypes. Could help dissolve this myopia of thinking that certain herbs are deadly and poisonous and evil and out to destroy the mind and out to destroy the body and out to destroy your life. Plants aren't designed to do that. Plants aren't people. We have to understand plants are, yes, living organisms. They have their consciousness, I believe. I believe that they are alive. I believe that they can communicate. I believe that they communicate with us. But I don't believe that plants, any plant is evil. When people talk about plants being evil, I laugh. Nature is not evil. Is nature violent? Nature acts in a violent way many times, what we would consider violence, but nature, no, is not violent. You know, when nature erupts with a volcano, she's not doing that to kill anybody or to hurt anybody. That's just natural. That just happens in and of itself. I mean, when people say, oh, the bad old storm is coming, oh my God, to destroy us. No, nature is just expressing herself. And with nature, there's millions of expressions of plants. And I believe that these plants were here for us to consume. Now, look at a plant like Cannabis sativa that has, you know, these cannabinoids, and our body has these endocannabinoid receptors. So our body literally is like a hole where the key fits in when you ingest Cannabis sativa. It literally locks in to our system like a key would lock into a hole and turn the knob and open up a door to intelligence. Same thing with Cannabis sativa. It's not rocket science. I think this is biology 101, psychology 101. You know,
what I find really, really interesting about plants and food. I feel like it's, you know, the family Solanaceae, I don't know how to pronounce it, but the family of the nightshade family.
Familiar with nightshade, yes.
So the nightshade family. Well, tomatoes are in the nightshade family. Peppers are in the nightshade family. Ashwagandha is in the nightshade family, which is one of the most powerful adaptogens, you know, we know.
Uh-huh.
And goji berries are in the nightshade family. And that family also contains some of the most deadly plants on the planet. And
right.
That, it's just really interesting how in the same family, in the same group of plants, contain the most medicinal and beneficial plants we have on this planet and some of the deadliest.
Absolutely,
really,
man. And I think that we're just scratching the surface. I mean, I think that we really don't even know what's out there at this point. You know, in terms of plants, we think we've discovered a lot of plants. We've only scratched the surface. You know, maybe we discovered 1%. You
and
know,
constantly
not
evolving and adapting.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. When I was out in California in 2008, I believe that there were, like, when I was out there, just for that 1 year alone, scientists discovered, I think, at least 2 to 3 species of animals that they didn't even know about, different newts, salamanders, and several plants that weren't even discovered prior to then. And that was just 1 year of me living out there, and I was amazed to find out that these scientists were discovering these organisms, but it didn't really surprise me. I mean, there's so much out there, and I really believe, and I know this sounds kind of spooky for some of the listeners, but nature speaks to us. You know, study Terence McKenna. Get a window into, you know, ethnobotany, into cultural plant traditions and ceremonies, and you'll understand that plants really speak to us. And when we
Absolutely.
Ingest these plants, their intelligence continues to speak through us. And we become co-creators with these plants. And we express ideas and bring forth new developments with these plants. So
the intention
I look at
and
plant,
the vibrations of the plants pretty
respect.
Much, they manifest themselves into us, basically. Like they
right.
will, because these
no
are our high vibration foods. All the foods that are good for you are super high vibration that literally upbring you and connect you to your roots, and it helps
yes.
you helps you identify beyond the self, and it helps
yes.
it helps you realize that you are literally one within the planet, and it just kind of it really does change you, but totally for the better.
100%. 100%, man. I mean, it's living. These are live. Live plants. So today, again, just for people listening in, we got Joe. I'm Dave Mate, and we have Dane over here over at Circle of Drink. And we're just talking about superfoods, cannabis sativa, yerba mate, all sorts of herbs that can help the body, help the mind. If you want to call in, definitely give us a call at 917-889-9947. Again, that number is 917-889-9947. if you have any questions or if you want to just build with us, then call us and we'll talk. So,
yeah,
Joe,
so
man, it's always
really
an
cool,
honor to have you, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. I really, really enjoy talking to people, especially you, about your yerba mate and
likewise,
other ethnobotanicals. It's just, I mean, I wish I were more prepared. Next time, I think I'm going to actually, like, write something down so
fine,
I can
dude. You're just as prepared as we are.
Articulate myself a little bit, you know, better and maybe not be, you know, super blitzed, but...
That's fine. Are you playing with any other herbs right now? Any other herbs you're experiencing that you want to share, talk about?
Well, I actually have over 30, maybe 20 medicinal herbs in my backyard right now.
Okay.
And,
talk about
it'd be
a
cool
few.
To talk about those.
Absolutely. Please.
Right now I have a plant called Gynera procumbens, which is longevity spinach. And I have its cousin, which is Gynera bicolor, and that's also called Okinawan spinach. The underside of the leaf is purple. But what's so great about Gynera procumbens is the fact that it can literally reduce the amount of bad cholesterol in your body with just 3 leaves per day.
Wow.
It's a
so it lowers your LDL.
And it's like ridiculous for diabetics too, because I hear, you know, they say that if you're sick and you go into, you know, like a hypoglycemia into shock and you eat a couple leaves, it'll actually pull you out of that and normalize your blood sugar. Which is, I mean, that's
wow.
Pretty crazy.
Wow. Just to jump in real quick, last night we experienced, and of course we've had chamomile many times, but we were really thinking about, Dane made a couple blends over here. Dane right now is focusing on making new blends right now for Circle of Drink. He's coming in as a blend, someone who's learning how to blend and eventually will become a master blender. And he created a blend last night that was amazing, actually. All it had in it was chamomile and rose petals. Talk about that blend.
Nice. I've actually done that, but instead of rose petals, I used false roselle petals.
Okay. Dude, it just took us down. Like, basically, it just brought us to the earth.
It grounded
us.
It was such a unique flavor.
Oh, man,
like
that sounds lovely.
The rosebud and the...
No, you. What
those
what'd you say?
Light perfume hints. Oh, that's
yeah,
amazing.
It's like it's like you're just laying in a field and you're just like feeling every like bit of sugar and bit of floral on this like flow through the air.
It smells like honey.
Yeah, had like a like from the rosebud. It just had a
awesome.
Very sweet honey, yeah. like almost like clover honey, like freshness.
And would you
to
say it.
It
was a sedative or was it kind of like a grounder? A grounder.
Yeah, no, it brings you down to the ground. It
yeah.
is very
you felt
relaxing.
It like kind of just bring you right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, it's like throwing a rock into the water.
there's this one blend that I want to try sometime because I was eating a peanut butter cup and I was drinking mate and I noticed that the flavors went together like really, really well. And I was like, wow, I got to mix this. So I'm going to try to get some like dried peanut butter, like PB2.
Yeah.
And some cocoa nubs and just
nice.
You know, make a blend with that. And see if that works. See if I can get the peanut butter and chocolate notes.
Dude, you got to do that.
Yeah, dude, I'm going to. And I'll tell you how it is, too.
I've been trying to do a peanut butter mate for years now, but I never really created it, man.
You just never went for it, or you never, like, knew how to go about it?
I tried it. I tried it, but I failed. I was using a peanut butter powder, like an organic peanut butter powder. But every time that I mix it with a mate, it kind of like congealed and made it kind of pasty. And the aesthetics just weren't there for me, man. Because whenever I'm blending, I'm thinking about many aspects. I'm thinking about how it looks, aesthetics. I'm thinking about how it tastes, obviously. And I'm thinking about how it feels and how it goes into your body. But it needs all three of those, you know, to create the perfect blend. And I just felt like, you know, if I'm not going to create something amazing, I'm not going to publish it. I'm not going to share it with the world until it's ready.
Well, peanut butter is just, you know, butterized peanuts. So, I mean,
right.
if you use really, really small pieces of peanut, you may be able to extract some of the flavors from the peanut.
without getting that.
That's what I haven't tried yet.
You know,
physical, like, actual chunks of the peanut.
Yeah, very small, though, like, about the size of the mate leaves, you know?
Yes. So what are some other herbs you're dealing with over in your garden? I'm interested.
Oh, dude, I have lemon balm, I have oregano, I have chaya, which is tree spinach.
I love lemon balm.
Oh, yeah, man. I have a big, big old bush right here. It's one of my favorite herbs to use in mate.
Nervine.
Absolutely, yeah. It's very calming. I do tea blends.
Yeah.
I actually have a page. I don't need to mention it, but basically.
Yeah, mention it, man. Mention your page. Mention your business.
Well, it's Zen Fusion Botanicals, and basically I do blends where, you know, people come to me, tell me something that they're looking for, like a certain effect, or, you know, if they need sleep, or if they need energy, or if they're if they just need something
to.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's so
like people
simple,
are becoming
but
their own doctors, man. In many ways, this is great.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I don't cure anyone or anything. I just want to say that, you know, I'm not a doctor.
Of course.
But you know, you got just to keep everything legal. I don't cure anyone, but
of course.
Basically, people just come.
You're
to me
a medicine
asking,
man, though.
Yeah, I like to consider myself an herbalist. So,
you're an herbalist, man. You're a medicine man.
Yeah, I try to be, man. You know, just and I just gather the matter that I need. You know, sometimes I actually get fresh plant matter and dry it out myself. And
yes.
Sometimes I can't. Like right now, I have Costa Rican bush mint, and it's getting pretty big. It actually is like 10 times more potent than peppermint, but it has like the same effect on your stomach. It's very soothing.
Costa Rican bush mint. Jesus.
Yes, Costa Rican bush mint. Some call it Jamaican tree mint or something like that. I have garden sage.
Mm-hmm.
I have fresh lemongrass.
Nice.
I have echinacea. I have holy basil.
Right. Yes, that's an adaptogen.
Yes, it sure is. And it's fucking delicious.
yes.
It is. It tastes like candy. It smells like candy. Have you ever seen the flowers? Full and they have like fluorescent orange and pink undertones, and they're beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah, and I have opal basil, and it grows purple.
What sort of basil?
Cool.
What sort of basil you said? Purple?
Opal. Opal, yeah, and it's like purple.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, man, it's a really cool type of basil. I just got it when I was working at an organic nursery. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else. Oh, I have Moringa oleifera, which is,
oh, yeah,
you know,
Moringa, powerful.
Yeah.
Grows in Jamaica, actually. I thought about
Jamaica,
growing it myself.
Africa.
Yeah.
The version.
Virgins?
The strain I have is Moringa oleifera. And it's,
yeah, Moringa's powerful, man. My family over in Jamaica, they love it. They drink it as a superfood.
Oh, yeah, dude. Like, you can use the bark. You can use the seed pods. You can use the leaves. You can use the roots. All medicinal. The leaves have more protein than eggs.
Jesus. Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, it's seriously.
But, you know, it's amazing, man. I love to see what's happening right now over the past several years where people are starting to study herbs on their own. Yeah, some of them are going to get degrees, but I don't even think that's absolutely necessary. I mean, any library or internet connection could get you any degree in this world for free. I love to see people studying herbs, sharing herbs, and getting people onto herbs with their own knowledge. I mean, this to me is what medicine is all about. It's not about getting your certification and becoming an MD. That's great. We need surgeons. We need pediatricians. We need those people. But we also need people like ourselves.
Knowledge. It's a self-knowledge.
Yes, we need people who are going to talk about the history, talk about to be advocates for the plants, because the doctors are not advocates for the plants. The doctors are advocates for allopathic remedies, for treating the side effects, not treating the underlying problems, like what homeopathy is all about. You know, most doctors aren't thinking about homeopathy. They're thinking about allopathy. So
So I love to hear people like ourselves talking about these things to bring forth this information.
Absolutely. And, you know, every time I go to my local kava bar, I bring my mate, and everyone loves it. Everyone enjoys it. They say it's synergistic with the kava. They say it's synergistic with the tea that, you know, that we drink.
It's very social.
I've actually already held yerba mate circles, and it really does bring people together. It's crazy.
Can you talk to us a little bit about that again? What are you doing with your circles in Florida? How are you getting people onto mate, and how are they experiencing it?
Well, I'd like to start off by talking about the history of me consuming mate. I've been consuming mate for probably over two and a half years now. Only recently have I been consuming mate traditionally. And it changed my life, actually, when I started drinking it traditionally. It grounded me even further. It brought me, you know, just the whole ceremony of, you know, packing the gourd, shaking it, putting in the bombilla, pouring in the cold water, making my mountain, you know, everything. It's just very ceremonious. And I just really enjoy that. And I feel like with my calabash gourd, it just, you know, enhances the quality and the saponins and everything inside the mate. It's just something like the taste of, I feel like the bitterness from the skin of the gourd kind of like extracts itself into the mate, and then you get that, and it's like an extra kick.
Yeah, you feel the carrot.
And,
yeah, it has that energy coming through.
But, I love that method, so I think I'll never go back. I mean, I enjoy Terere too, but it's just usually I find the most energy pack, you know, the most sustenance within that form. So so I started going to my local kava bars, and people just automatically became curious, you know, naturally. So I'd explain it to them. I would be like, so, you know, this is...
How mate does that, right? It just attracts people.
Yeah, exactly. Like, wait, what is that?
is that
a bong? No, it's not a bong. I'm not smoking out of it. I get that a lot. People think that like, it's some smoking device. I'm like, nope.
Yeah, dude, we live in New York. We get that every day, man. People are like, dude, let me get a hit off of that, please. I've had cops, dude, come up to me, like, what is this stuff? And I ended up selling him a pound. You know, I literally ended up selling two cops, 2 pounds, at two different occasions, you know.
Flipping keys.
I was like, officer, have a sip of this. You need it, man. You want to catch the bad guys? You drink this stuff. You're going to catch the bad. You got to run with the wolves, you know. And the cop's
dude,
like, wow,
I get
so taken aback.
And basically, people just became naturally curious, and I would go through the whole spiel, everything I would say. I would just be like, so more or less, this is a superfood from South America, you know, that's been consumed by the Guayanese for, you know, thousands of years. And didn't they believe that the moon gifted it to them? Isn't that the story?
There are several mythologies behind it. That may be one of them.
And I would just tell them that it's a very substantial quality, you know, tea that has high amounts of caffeine and other xanthines like theobromine and theophylline or something like that.
So you educated them from the ground up.
Yes, I tried to give them a root knowledge of it. And then I told
That's
them, you know,
way.
This is the bombilla, you know, and, you know, I gave them the whole thing. I tell them how they would consume it traditionally in South America, get in a circle, you know. I'm the server. You know, don't say thank you until you're done type of stuff. And they really enjoyed it. They found like it was very very ceremonious and
bonding.
Yeah, exactly. Because it is, you know, it's like it's something that can really get people together since you're in a circle, you know. And I actually need to get a bigger gourd because my circles are getting too big.
Yeah, we're working on that over
at COD,
man.
Dude, I want to learn how to make gourds. like get some dried cow dust.
It's all about working wood, man. You know, it's basic woodworking. But the problem is the selection of the wood and curing of the wood. That's the real difficulty.
Right.
That's the art.
Right, right, totally. Well, I was thinking maybe even getting, like, dried calabash, like, off the internet and just,
Absolutely. Or grow your
own. Buying them myself, carving them, curing them, whatever.
Yeah, dude. I mean, calabash essentially is a summer squash, essentially. It's in the same genus. They're in the same genus. They're like cousins, you know?
Well, calabash grows on a tree, and regular squash are usually just a vine.
Well, calabash just means squash in Spanish. That's all that word means.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like,
so it's not a true calabash, like calabaza? From a calabash tree?
Exactly. Calabaza. They call it mate de calabaza, which means a squash mate cup. And then a calabash in English is a squash, is a calabash squash. It's a sort of squash plant. But essentially, what they're growing in South America is basically like a butternut squash, like a summer squash, actually. Not a butternut, a summer squash, a small one.
Like a bottle gourd.
But yeah, and these, I believe, don't grow on a vine. They can naturally. That's their natural habitat, yes. But these, I believe, they grow on the ground, I think. And they harvest them a certain season to get the proper uniform shape that they want from them. So sometimes they're much larger, sometimes they're much smaller, sometimes they have different shapes. But essentially, this squash, calabash squash, goes way beyond yerba mate. This squash has been used for millennia. We're talking from the Chinese. We're talking from the ancient Hawaiian people. We're talking people, every civilization, even in Jamaica, they use this calabash squash as their smoking pipe. They still do to this day. When they hit the chalice, they use the calabash squash is the chalice for the Jamaican. And the Jamaicans actually consider the calabash what they call idol, the philosophy of idol, which means like natural, clean, basically. And they consider that. So it's amazing to see how mate in South America uses the calabash squash for their most powerful herb, yerba mate. So there's something to the squash. There's something that goes beyond just any particular plant. I mean, this is about sharing. This squash is infused with community building. So yeah,
historically,
you're right,
probably one of the most beneficial plants.
You're right when you say the squash is an important, vital ingredient to the mate ceremony. Yes, it is, because it's a part of the rooting process. That squash has history.
Absolutely, and that's what I stress a lot when I hold these circles. You know, this is very high energy. This is very bonding. This is meant to be very communal. It's not supposed to, be like hallucinogenic or anything like that. So just keep that in mind, because people sometimes get the wrong idea. Like when I offer them mate, they think it's like, what is this? They're like, what is this? What are you offering me? What are they going to do? Yes, I've gotten that before. I'm like,
is this that jungle juice that you drink and like, you gotta like go tripping? I'm like, shut the fuck up.
And then I'll be like, no, seriously, though. It's, like, super high in caffeine. And if you drink a few of these with me, you'll know what I mean.
Yeah.
And it's, like, something that they really do have to experience, because it gives a better energy than anything natural, like, as far as, caffeine-wise and, natural substance, I believe. It's, like, one of the most powerful energizers. But it's different than any other type of energizer. You have to, all the different alkaloids that are in mate are genuinely, like part of the experience. It's not something that you can just like extract the caffeine out and be like, this is mate caffeine. No, it's all the other
right
alkaloids and everything else.
No, you can't extract. You can, but you're breaking the intelligence of the plant when you extract, because every compound is supposed to be speaking with every other compound that makes it a whole. When you talk about the word plant, that means whole. That's the whole thing. So you can't just take out caffeine. You can't just take out theobromine, theophylline, theanine, whatever you want to take out.
Because it's not integrated anymore.
Then you weakened it. It's like taking out, let me take out your third vertebrae. Keep the rest, but let me take that one out. Yeah, you'll still survive, but you'll be fucked. You'll be weakened.
Yeah, for sure.
Same thing with the plants. We had the balls to think that we could alter these plants? Yes, we can in a way of experimentation. I'm not totally against that. I think that as human beings, we should evolve and experiment, but, you know, we have to make that for what it is. I mean, right. Right.
But,
we've been going off on avenues right now, dude. Dude, I've been mincing up your story, dude, your whole flow. But jump back on the road, man. This is a Matewana circle.
Dude, back to Kratom. So, that stuff, I like...
You said what?
I made, like, a gallon of it not too long ago. And, like, when I was having one of my mate circles, I, you know, offered it to everyone. And I'm like, this is, like, the organic speedball, and this is, like, the best feeling you could ever get off of just a couple herbs. So, have fun. And I had them drink, like, a few gourds each. And
yeah,
I have like a few ounces of some really strong kratom, and everyone was satisfied, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's amazing, man. I mean, it's amazing how
the coolest part. I feel like the coolest part is that they don't even realize that they're also experiencing nutrients. You know?
Yeah, that's what I love about mate. You're really healing somebody. They don't even know it, dude. They don't even know how many nutrients they're getting into their body.
Like you could drink an energy drink and feel like shit and have like some really bad type of feeling energy that you feel like you're just gonna fall off the edge and die, or you could drink mate, benefit from the nutrients as well, get the cleanest energy high you could ever get, and never crash.
Never crashed. Isn't that a miracle, dude? I mean, I think it's one of the only plants that contains caffeine that could do that.
One of the only. Yeah, and you know,
like
Yerba Mate's cousin, Guayani, I believe, isn't that what it's called?
Guayani? Guayusa.
Guayusa. Yeah, that is an interesting drink. I've had that before, the one by Runa.
Yeah, it works, man. I mean, it doesn't hit you heavy like mate. It hits you in another way. It hits you light.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like, I'm not sure how I feel about it, though. Like, it may just be the fact that I had the cold version out of the bottle.
I think it's like a child to mate. That's what I think about it. I mean, not to put it down, but I think mate is like the mother. You know, mate is like the grandmother, and this is the grandchild. Wayus is the grandchild.
Yeah, like,
Wayusa doesn't, you could tell that it wants to be like mate. You could tell that it has shares a lot of the same structure of mate and what you feel.
Yeah.
But you just know that after you drink it, you're not going to get that push. That mate kind of pushes you. Mate has more of that heat, that aggressive energy that kind of pushes you forward. Wayusa is more like kind of whispers in your ear. It's like, yo. Like, clear up your head, man. Clear your head up. You know, but mate just kind of does it for you. So that's my opinion. That's why I never really took with me. But, you know, much love to those companies that are starting around Wayusa. I think it's something that it's more palatable to somebody who's not used to mate. Mate is a little bit more bitter. Wayusa is sweeter and lighter. It has more of a viscous body to it, more syrupy body to it. So, yeah, there are many great applications for it as a natural drink, sure. As an energy drink, natural energy drink, sure. But really, when you juxtapose it with mate side by side, I mean, mate just puts it to shame, just like how it puts green tea to shame. But, you know, those are respectable herbs in their own rights.
Absolutely. You know, Camellia sinensis is just like a very light, you know, very gentle type of tea that has a gentle amount of caffeine, and it's good for those, you know, aspects. You know, it's good in its own right.
Yes. So anybody listening to this show, feel free to call in 917-889-9947. These shows are being broadcast live on our blogtalkradio.com/circleofdrink account. Follow us over there. But this will also be published on our youtube.com/circleofdrink account. Make sure to follow us on YouTube. This is where we're going to get a lot of views of this video, actually, because we're talking about some really awesome topics, things that I love, things that I live by. You know, it's not even that I love them. I just live by them. I love herbs. I love superfoods. These things are just a part of my life, like how water is a part of my life. So why not have a show called The Mafia Wanna Show, where we talk about all herbs and not, you know, demeaning certain herbs like cannabis sativa. No, we uplift cannabis sativa, just like what these other superfoods, yerba mate, all these other powerful herbs. That's what this show is about. Every week we're coming on just talking about superfoods, powerful herbs, and bringing them their due respect. That's what the show is about. And we have Dane that's always a part of the show. So, Dane, just what do you think about this show and how we should move forward in many ways?
Like you said, it's going to be about the great herbs we have all over to share. Mother Earth has gifted us with some awesome things. We're going to see what they have to offer, the social bonding experience that it offers between mate and cannabis. And beyond, it just gives a awesome experience for people should explore it, try it out, see what works for them, and just chime in, see how you feel, let us know about your experience and what works for you. We're here to educate, here to help you guys.
And we're here to learn, too.
Yes, we want to learn, guys. So we're here to make everything better. We're here to learn about herbs. So
salute to that,
salute
man.
To you.
And Joe, man, just what are your thoughts on the continuation of this show, and what are some of the topics that we could continue to talk about, and just whatever your thoughts are on it?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the idea of this show. You know, I've been kind of just listening for a little bit here, just because I'm kind of on my level as well. But I think that, you know, as long as you just continue on with talking about the gift of herbs and the application in their justified rights, not in their, you know, portrayed, you know, hipster or hippie type of nonsense stuff, because that's not what it is. It's truly
right.
These herbs were given to us to heal us and to bring us closer to, you know, true reality, beyond materialism, you know, and beyond egotistical views and egotistical ways. They're very humbling. And I just think that, you know, if we continue talking about the medicinal herbs and you know, even talk about some of the herbs that are rare, you know, if like we could talk about something that is, you know, beyond
no herbs
something that,
table.
You know, gives you type. Huh?
No herbs are off the limits for us. We could talk about any herb, man.
Absolutely, man. Like, you know, something that I've begun to notice here living in Florida is that there are a ton of wild herbs that you can just pick off the side of the road and eat. And that's
wow.
Something that I've kind of been studying. You know, there are a lot of
roadside herbs,
you know, that you would consider, you know, just like something that just grows and, you know, you wouldn't be able to eat
purple
it. But,
cornflower.
You know, cattails. You can eat cattails.
Yeah.
Every part of the cattail is edible. There's this weed in Florida called
stinging nettle.
yes. And then there's a what's it called? I'm looking at it right now. It's called shepherd's needle. And shepherd's needle. And it's one of the
that
most common
That sounds sharp. It sounds like it'll hit you.
Yeah, well, the flowers are just like, they're very daisy-like, and it's like one of the most common weeds around here, and the leaves are totally, totally viable to eat. There's
really?
A guy, yeah, there's a guy who has a website called eattheweeds.com, and if you check out that website, it has a huge, huge, huge array of weeds that you wouldn't even believe that you could eat in some shape,
okay,
you know, or form. It's really, really interesting. And there's
Lion.
Some herbs that I found that are, you know, totally edible, like wild lettuce around here in Florida, the Lactica variety, that the one that has opium in it. Or
okay, so you're tripping off of that.
I don't know actually how you go about doing that, but the leaves are edible. And
mm-hmm.
You can totally eat them. So I feel like it's very important to have some sort of knowledge about the herbs around you that you can eat if necessary. You know,
to survive.
Yeah, exactly, because there's a herb called purslane, and purslane is one of the most nutritious herbs that you can actually consume.
Of course,
Thoreau,
and
it grows everywhere,
and pond.
Yeah, exactly, and it's everywhere here in Florida during the summertime, and it's just a succulent herb that is just super concentrated with vitamins and minerals, and it just grows everywhere, and people walk past it every day.
Yeah,
more nutritious than any food they can get at the grocery store.
People don't know about it. The Dave's back and stuff stepped out. So.
Yeah, I honestly feel like it's really important for people to eat locally and eat foods that have been produced, you know, either by themselves or by someone that they know.
Yeah, it's
because,
just good to know, like, what's around them.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like, anytime you go to the grocery store, you're going to buy foods that are depleted, nutritionally depleted, because they're grown on a large scale. And even if it's organic, they probably didn't use micronutrients, because that's not required. And micronutrients are some of the most important aspects of health, you know?
Yeah.
Minerals, like, all of those micronutrients, you know, help your body function the way that it should.
Yeah.
It's kind of like oiling cogs, you know, you have to get all the constituents that your body needs to have everything run smoothly.
Yeah.
And farmers simply just don't put these minerals into the food, into the soil.
Yeah. It's just,
so when you buy produce at the store, you're buying whatever the plant actually produced within the plant itself, and the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, and that's all you're getting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just, we need a big cultural change. Like, I mean, I wouldn't say just in this country, but I mean, this country definitely needs a good change of how we look at nature and how we ingest, like, what we could just take in from what everything's around us is staggering compared to, like, the rate that we go at today. So it's something that people just got to, like, sit back and look around and think about for a second.
I think a lot of people are just afraid at the price of organic food, and I think people underestimate the actual difference between, you know, good organic local food and store food. They don't see the difference, you know, when they look at it, so they assume that it's no better.
Yeah,
and that's a big problem. If they could look at the nutritional value of each and everything that they look at and see the price difference, they'll, you know, come to see that it's worth it to buy the higher quality produce.
Yeah, definitely. It's,
exactly. I mean, to me, it tastes better anyway. I don't know.
It's healthier, man. Yeah, you can tell. And taste-wise, you can definitely tell.
Especially when you grow your own food, pick it right off the plant, go use it 10 minutes later. There's nothing better.
Yeah, that's bioavailability is so high at that point.
Yeah, it's like, for instance, if you buy a tomato at the grocery store, even if it's organic, that tomato was probably grown in Mexico or California, probably.
Yeah.
And when they picked that tomato, they obviously didn't pick it when it was ripe, or else by the time it got to you, it would be rotting. So they have to pick it weeks in advance, you know, so it doesn't rot by the time it gets to the customer, let alone sitting on the shelf before it gets sold. And it's the tomato hasn't produced all of its nutrients yet, you know, like when a fruit is ripe, when a vegetable is ripe, that means it's achieved its nutritional maximum and it's ready for consumption. It tells you when it's ready for consumption. Just like if you go to a plum tree or a nectarine tree, it's pretty much not ready until it's almost falling off, because that's when it tells you it's ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the optimal time.
Exactly. And
again. Like, I have a few things growing in my backyard, like the Gynera Procummins and the Okinawan. About those are pretty much interchangeable to spinach. Super nutrient dense, and they grow in the summer here in Florida.
How'd you find out about those herbs?
I found out about those herbs by working at an organic nursery for about 6 months, where I took care of herbs and plants that are nutritious and basically edible plants altogether.
Interesting.
Whether they're spices or actual like fruiting trees or so on and so forth. Basically the whole spiel. And I would plant them and I would take care of them, you know, trim them up, do whatever needs to be done to make sure they're healthy and everything. And we added minerals. We added the micronutrients and the microorganisms that the plants need to produce nutritious leaves, nutritious fruits, and just overall be resistant to pests. Because when your plants are healthy, they actually resist pests, because pests come in generally when the plants are not doing well, because it's Mother Nature trying to get rid of it. It's like, you know, it's trying to get rid of the bad plant. So when it's strong, the bugs actually don't really want it. It's pretty funny how it works, but
that's nature for you.
Yeah, nature knows.
Yeah, exactly. And
nature's,
you know,
smarter than us.
You know, we use like composted soil, you know, not like miracle crap.
Yeah, compost.
Because that stuff
compost.
Is, yeah, that stuff's made from petrochemicals anyways. But yeah, you got to use, you know, highly composted organic soil with a high micronutrient and high microorganism content.
Of course, man. Where do you think people, what's going to take for people to wake up, though, to the power of herbs? Because obviously most people are still sleeping to the power of herbs, super foods. You think it's just going to take more education, people like ourselves continuing to speak on behalf and advocating on behalf of these herbs? Or it's just going to be a natural progression of society? People are naturally going to be more drawn to these remedies, like, for instance, CNN published more medicine.
I think that we're going
to
I think that we're definitely going to experience. Hold on, there's a plane flying over me right now.
That's all right. We have helicopters
we're going
over
to,
here, man.
Yeah. We're going to experience a population of which seeks out these herbs and remedies because they feel like they have no other choice, because these conventional methods of healing are not working, you know? They're starting to realize that this is their last chance, and since they didn't live a life of nutrient-rich food and they didn't live a life of taking care of themselves, they realized that they need to do it now or else they'll pay. So I feel like it'll naturally
people are
come.
Waking up.
I think people are waking up, and I know that people are really getting used to the idea of natural medicines and you know, self curing. It's just obviously the rich people in charge don't want it, not because they don't really know that it's not that it, you know, that it's beneficial, but because it's not in their interest to pay for it. It's not in their interest to, you know, unleash it
or
to society where people can, you know, grow their medicine rather than rely on their government for pills. And that's the biggest thing, I believe. I believe, yes, you know, we need to educate more people about the medicinal properties of herbs and plants, because without them, I mean, even some of the most common drugs like aspirin comes from the white willow bark. And, you know, that's without
pain
that,
relievers.
I mean, a lot of people would, yeah, exactly. And a lot of people just don't realize the source of their medicines.
It all comes from the mother earth, from Gaia.
Even pharmaceuticals, a lot of pharmaceuticals come from plants, especially like obviously opium, which is used for many pharmaceuticals.
Yeah. We're drinking right now a yerba mate blend that I came up with a couple of months ago called Feather Pillow. It's a nervine blend. It brings you down, man. It has chamomile, lemon balm. It has some mint. It's great, man. It just kind of really brings you down. It has a little bit of mate. Really, really nice.
Nice, man. I'm drying out some homegrown lemongrass right now.
Oh, lemongrass is great, man. We've been blending with that lately. Our latest blend. Oh, wow, this lemon blend we came up with. It's dope, man. It's it has yerba mate, lemongrass,
myrtle leaf, and lemon peel.
Yeah, it's dope, man. Talk about that, Dane, for a second.
I mean, we came up with it a couple days ago. We
had a little more elaborate blend. It had some chamomile and rooibos in it, but we toned it down a little bit because that was a little too nervine, a little too low. So we brought it back up, simplified it, and it just came out amazing. Came out a winner. So I mean, it's gonna be hopefully everybody enjoys it. And it's gonna be awesome ice too. So
oh yeah, that mate frio.
Yeah, the mate frio. So gonna see how it comes out.
Yeah, for the next day and a half, 2 days, just use code SPRING30 to save 30% on CircleOfDrink.com. And every order made within the next 2 days will receive a free sample of lemon mate frio, which is incredible. Cold. It was designed for you to drink cold. You can still drink it hot, of course. We drink it hot all the time. Drink it from the gourd, drink it from a French press, teapot, whatever. But if you find it convenient to chill it out for a little bit, maybe add a drop of honey if you want, and add some ice, let it chill out, put it in the fridge. After you brew it hot, you're going to be in heaven.
You're going to love it. Midday, really refreshing.
That's going to be
the drink of the summer. Oh, yeah. Summer 2015, man, you're going to be drinking that lemon mate frio from CircleOfDrink.com.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to throw something out there because when you mentioned, like, how people misconceptualize the whole fact of putting mate and weed together in the gourd. Well, that makes me just think about kratom. Yeah, don't mix kratom in with the mate. Don't do that. Kratom's usually in a powder, and that would just be really bad. But furthermore, kratom's really, really just not very palatable. So it'd be best not to do that. It'd be best.
Noted.
It would best just to be get that kratom down as quick as you can.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, so I mean,
sweet,
I just had to say that because
awesome.
I don't want anyone to like ruin their mate or their gourd.
That. Yeah, man. Nah, dude, we're doing a good job over here with this show. It's an honor to be discussing these ancient plants and ancient remedies with you. And my co-host, Dane, over here, blender over here at Circle of Drink. So, dude, man.
Yeah,
I
absolutely
think we
want to get together with you guys sometime and discuss some blends because I'm working on a few myself.
Dude,
that'd
we
be
got
cool
it, man.
To collaborate or something.
Of course. We're always looking for collaborators.
Awesome.
Always,
dude.
Man.
I'll tell you how I work out
dude,
with that
let me
peanut
know,
butter one.
What are you guys drinking? What gourds are you guys drinking over in your circles over there? What sort of gourds do you guys have?
Well, I personally have two gourds right now. I need to actually get more hours in my job so I can afford more mate stuff so I can, you know, support my addiction. But basically I have a Palo Santo gourd as
mm-hmm.
well as an inverted calabash gourd. So basically they, instead of cutting off the top, they cut off the bottom
.
So,
well, listen, man, if
like
you guys ever want to all get, gourds, let me know and Circle of Drink and provide you guys on a good rate, man. If you guys just buy together, we're getting, some more of those quantum cups fresh coming in from our crafters in Jamaica in about a week. So let me know, man, if you guys just all want to pick up some of those quantum cups. That might be something
absolutely,
good for your circle
man.
Over there.
Absolutely, dude. I'd love to rock the circle of drink. Gourds over in my circle.
Yeah, dude, and we could even customize the gourds if you wanted and put, like, your town or whatever, or come up with a name of your own circle over there, you know what I mean? Just to throw something on the gourds, so it'll be specific to your area. Because what are you doing right now? It's historical in Florida. You're literally creating
history.
Oh, dude,
absolutely. Like, I'm, like, every single day, people...
I think we should put, like, your town on the gourd, dude.
Yeah,
like, engrave it on,
I feel
man.
Like people call me, like, Joe Mate now. It's so funny.
That's your name, dude.
It's so funny.
Mate,
yeah,
man.
It's crazy.
We got Joe Mate,
yeah,
everybody, on the Mate Wanna Show with Dave Mate and Dane.
Hey.
There you go.
Like, I just found that funny, but it's definitely becoming something big down here. And someday I will definitely, get like a video collab down, and I'll show you what's going down here. Maybe we could
do
like a video chat someday.
Of course. There's so much room for collaboration, man.
So much innovation to be made.
So much innovation, man. Like, literally, how many blends did we come up with yesterday? How many blends did you come up with yesterday, dude? Four?
Yeah, like four of them.
Jesus.
I mean, they all came out.
Yeah, man. Big, big things to come for sure.
Yes, man. Awesome.
Definitely, man.
And, like,
we're doing
especially
it.
If I'm going to definitely, get something written down next time so I can actually feel like I know what I'm speaking about a little bit better.
Yeah,
because
we should all, like, come up with a theme for the next one. I don't even know what yet. Maybe we should all talk about blends, like the modalities behind certain blends that we've all made, like the philosophy. Walk people through the philosophy of making a blend. That'll be pretty interesting, actually, because there is always a story behind each blend. That's what
I
find.
Absolutely. Like, something like your personal chi at that time really kind of inspires what you want in a blend.
Yeah. Like, for instance,
because,
Dane,
he likes
to blend.
There has to be a rhyme and reason.
Like.
Yeah. I know what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was 6 months ago, it would be a different story.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe making some harder chai blends, some that it's going to warm your heart and just makes you want to sit by a fire.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean,
oh yeah, man.
Summer's on the way, so
you got to
mate lattes. And I'm trying to think.
You're right, man. You got to build the teas around the seasons in many ways.
Yeah, totally. Like I'm going to be doing a Matinade here soon for summer. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to use like Meyer lemon.
Yeah. That's exactly what we created,
awesome.
Dude. We created a moderate, it's like mate Gatorade, dude.
Yeah.
Like the lemon, it tastes like mate Gatorade. It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. There's this one blend that I'm working on to pretty much blend a bunch of different medicinal herbs together. And they're all adaptogens.
Yep. Damn.
So we got.
That's good.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
That
sounds good.
Sounds dangerously cleansing.
Yeah.
That sounds dangerously healthy, dude.
Yeah.
Jesus. Watch out.
Well, let's see. We got the ashwagandha. We got the astragalus. We have the goji berries.
Okay.
We have the holy basil.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still figuring out a few others that I want to do. I'm thinking,
dude, throw some golden berries in there. You ever have a golden?
Oh my gosh, the Aztec berries, the golden Aztec berries.
Flavor profile, it hits every flavor map of your tongue. Like, in within a second, boom, it's like lightning, bro. It's amazing. It's one of the most nutritious berries in the world. Up there with goji berries, maybe even surpasses goji berries. It's up there with Sazandra berries as well. Powerful. I have a blend with all three of those berries. It's called the Throne of Berries. Bro. The Throne of Berries. Dude, you're sitting at the throne of the most nutritious, nutrient-packed, antioxidant-rich berries on the planet Earth. With yerba mate to boost it, forget about it. Throwing a berries.
Over. Done.
You got to speak for those blends.
I
love my
potentiators
blends
of yerba mate as well.
What was that? The potentiators?
Yeah, I want to see if there are any herbal potentiators that we could add to a blend. Imagine that.
Sure. I'm sure there is. Why not? I find that mate super boosts everything. Everything that it goes with it, it just, like, brings it. I don't know, like, pushes it along.
It gives it body.
It gives it, like, intelligence.
Yes.
Because mate is very masculine. You know, well, it's a feminine drink in terms of, like, the energy, but I think that when you drink it, it gives you more of a masculine energy in many ways. Like, it gets your heart kind of ready. Not, like tachycardia or anything. Not, like, speed. But it kind of, like, I think it improves, for me at least, I'm only speaking for myself, I think it improves the rhythm of your heart.
Yeah.
I really believe that mate affects the cardiovascular system in a positive manner.
Yeah. It's still, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
the power of yerba mate, the power of cannabis sativa, the power of so many herbs on the planet Earth. This is the Mate Wanna Show, weekly, just talking about superfoods, cannabis sativa, yerba mate, whatever. Whatever herbs, we don't discriminate. Just talking about super herbs, super foods, and talking about blending these things, blending these majestic plants. On the next show, we're going to be discussing how we blend our modalities, our philosophies of blending, our methods of blending, and bringing a concept to life through a particular tea. So that's for next week. It's someday next week. I can't tell you what day. Maybe next week, Tuesday or so. But hopefully you're following us on our Facebook pages, facebook.com/circleofdrink. You'll be notified. Just follow us over there at Facebook. And that's it, folks. I mean, this was a great, great conversation, a great yerba mate circle. The circle is strong. I don't know what else to say right now. Just keep on drinking yerba mate. You guys will have some parting words?
Great building session, guys. Awesome discussing.
Hope to see what we have in store next time. See what other super herbs and super foods we have to offer. And go with peace, guys. Have a great week.
Yes. And Joe Mate,
yeah,
man, you got some parting words?
Yeah, absolutely, man. It was a great conversation. I wish I would have prepared myself a little bit better, but, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, dude, I can't wait for the next conversation. I'll definitely get something together, try a few blends out, and really do some deep reflecting on why I do the blends that I do and my intention behind them.
Yes.
And I'll definitely have some interesting points.
I love that, man. That's fucking awesome. All right, guys, remember, head on over to circleofdrink.com for all your yerba mate needs. Use the code SPRING30, and you'll save 30% for the next 2 days until midday Thursday. That's the code SPRING30, and you'll also receive a free sample of our lemon mate frio. That's a lemon cold variety of mate. You just drink it cold, and it's amazing. You're in heaven. All right, guys, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for listening on this episode of the Mate Wanna Show. I'll see you next week. Have a good one. Peace out.
Yeah.
Salud, salud, mate para siempre.
Salud.